KAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. On this Tuesday, April 25, 2017, we've got a fantastic 60 minutes of sports talk to soothe those eardrums. We've got a great show, folks, as we will talk about and update you on the Austin Robertson arrest. New details have emerged when it comes to what exactly took place this weekend, as at first, authorities could not find Robertson. Then they found out that he went back home to Fort Wayne, Indiana. We'll talk about that briefly. We will then proceed to chat about a pretty big announcement at Little Caesars Arena this morning at 10 a.m. as Tom Izzo, John Beilein, Bakari Alexander, as well as Greg Campy, all were in the his house to announce to the public a pretty cool slate of college basketball action that will take place later on this year at LCA. You don't want to miss that. We will also talk about Jabril Peppers, who finds himself in the headlines due to an interesting drug test. We'll just put it that way. You'll find out the details of that test in just a moment. And also around the 1:30 mark, our guest for today's Current Sports is a high-flying man who is only 5'5". I kid you not. His name is Porter Mayberry. His nickname is What's Reality? We'll explain why and how he got that nickname in just a moment. He is a Grand Rapids native, actually balled out on the hardwood at Grand Rapids Ottawa Hills High School. And he actually won last year's TNT competition entitled The Dunk King. And he will be defending that title on national television very, very soon. Porter will join me live here on the air to talk about his national stardom now. Don't miss that. And then later on this hour, we will briefly chat about the NBA playoffs, and we will preview the Detroit Tigers and Seattle Mariners, as the Tigers will be hosting the Mariners starting tonight. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. If you want to join us via social media, you know how you can do that. Simply go to Facebook.com/currentsports, where we are currently live streaming the show, or even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR, at WKAR underscore sports. You know what's next. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. The first college basketball games at the brand spanking new Little Caesars Arena, downtown Detroit, were announced this morning at 10 a.m. Get this, Michigan will play Detroit Mercy, and Michigan State will take on Oakland in a doubleheader that will take place, mark your calendars, December 16th. It was announced right at LCA. The games were announced, and Michigan head coach John Beilein was in the house, along with head coach of Michigan State, Tom Izzo, head coach of U of D Mercy, Bakari Alexander, and head coach of OU, that being Greg Campy. Beilein called the idea, quote, exciting, and Michigan State head coach Tom Izzo said he was, quote, proud to be a part of it, end quote. These games will serve as a precursor for college hoops at the arena as the new building prepares to host the Horizon League tournament every year, and the first and second round of the NCAA tournament starting in 2021. We'll have more on that exciting news in just a moment. In more Michigan State hoop news, though, recruiting target Mark Smith is set to make his decision, in a press conference at Edwardsville High School tomorrow at 7 p.m. Smith, A four-star combo guard, sits at 6'5", 225 pounds, and was named the State of Illinois Mr. Basketball this season for his effort. Smith has drawn interest from many top programs over the last couple months as his recruitment picked up steam. But the favorites to land him seem to be the Spartans and the Illinois Fighting Illini. Last week, Smith unofficially visited Illinois after getting an in-home visit from Michigan State, the MSU staff, and officially visiting MSU on April 7th. So Smith set to make his announcement to the world tomorrow at 7 p.m. In Michigan basketball news, yeah, U of M got involved in the graduate transfer market yesterday as former Ohio Bobcat Jaron Simmons committed to the Wolverines. Simmons previously announced his intentions to explore the NBA draft waters without an agent, but according to Ohio head coach Saul Phillips, yeah, Simmons has decided to instead transfer as a Wolverine. Simmons, a guard who stands 6'1", averaged 15.9 points per game and 6.5 assists per game last year for the Bobcats. He also was awarded a first-team All-MAC distinction and was considered to be the favorite for the MAC Player of the Year had he returned. Now, as a graduate transfer, Simmons will be immediately eligible to play for the Wolverines. All right, moving along. According to a report from Mark Snyder from the Detroit Free Press, the University of Michigan football team could have up to two night games this coming fall. Michigan Athletic Director Ward Manuel said on Friday, quote, "When the schedule comes out, we can have up to two night games," end quote. A marquee game under consideration would be the Wolverines' date with the Michigan State Spartans on October 7th. Okay, first off, hold on, let me pause there. Pause my reading here. Isaac, I think that would be a bad idea. Actually, October 7th is my birthday. That'll be fun to watch. But Spartans, Wolverines, night game equals trouble in my eyes. I
like it better during the day, but growing up a Tiger fan, Death Valley always had its games at night. So I do have a certain preference for night games, I'll be honest.
That sounds like chaos to me.
It does sound like chaos.
That sounds like fights and bonfires going on in the middle of the parking lot. That sounds insane.
More time to drink, the worse. That's how it goes in college football.
All right. I don't think it'll happen. We actually asked Mark Hollis that a year ago, and he said, I don't know. It's not going to happen right now, so we'll see what happens there. Emmanuel said it was a possibility, though. Following the installment of permanent lights at the Big House in 2010, Michigan has only hosted three night games in its history. Ward said that he and Coach Jim Harbaugh have been in agreement that they prefer the afternoon, but due to television contracts, it is out of their control. Moving on, former Michigan football star Jabril Peppers reportedly tested positive at the NFL Combine for a diluted urine sample. Peppers is the second prospect at the Combine to test positive for a diluted sample, with Alabama linebacker Reuben Foster being the other. Sources told ESPN's Adam Schefter that Peppers has a history of cramps and was ill after flying to Indy for the Combine, so he drank 8 to 10 bottles of water to prepare for the run. Now, sources said this led to the diluted sample. In the most recent mock draft released by Mel Kiper, Peppers was slotted to go 15th overall to the Indianapolis Colts. Time will tell if the positive test will lead to Peppers slipping at all in the draft, which will take place this upcoming Thursday. Former number one overall pick in the University of Michigan star offensive tackle Jake Long announced his retirement from the NFL yesterday. Long was selected first overall in the 2008 NFL draft by the Miami Dolphins. Last season with the Minnesota Vikings, Long played just four games before tearing his Achilles, sidelining him for the rest of the year. Long was a four-time Pro Bowl selection from 08 to 011. He played in more than 10 games in just one season, his 2013 season with the Rams. Long said in a statement on Twitter, quote, "Although my heart and mind still want to play, my body is telling me something completely different," end quote. Michigan State head coach Mark D'Antonio took to Twitter yesterday to refute a report from SpartanNation.com that said defensive end Robert Bowers and cornerback Vyonte Copeland were no longer a part of the team. D'Antonio tweeted out his displeasure for the report just 20 minutes after the story was posted. Quote, "The most recent report that V. Copeland and R. Bowers have been thrown off the team are inaccurate." and have no validity. Hashtag redlock, end quote. That's what the tweet read. Copeland and Bowers both played in the Michigan State spring game earlier this month. An MSU spokesperson told Chris Solari of The Freep that the status of the two players has not changed. All right, moving along. The Detroit Tigers will open up a 10-game homestand when they host the Seattle Mariners tonight at Comerica Park. The Tigers are 5-2 in their 7 games at home this year, and the Mariners enter play having dropped 3 of their 4 games to the Oakland A's over the weekend. The Mariners will roll with the ace, Felix Hernandez, who has a 3.65 ERA so far this year. Detroit will counter with Jay-Z, Jordan Zimmermann, who has a 5.94 ERA this season. First pitch, 7:10 p.m. You can watch that on Fox Sports Detroit. In NASCAR news, Hendrick Motorsports announced in a tweet that Dale Earnhardt Jr., a household name on the NASCAR scene, has decided to retire following this season. For most, if not all of his career, Earnhardt Jr. has been NASCAR's biggest star, voted the most popular driver by the fans 14 times since 1999. Earnhardt Jr. has won 26 times in 603 career starts in NASCAR. He also won the Daytona 500 twice in 2014 and 2004. Earnhardt Jr. joins other popular drivers, Jeff Gordon, Tony Stewart, and Carl Edwards, to call it quits over the last couple of seasons. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to be a part of the show, again, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet us at WKAR underscore sports or at Al Martin WKAR. Time to start the show.
This is red lights, sirens, everyone, all hands on deck. Go back to Michigan, get all the information you can. Make sure that this is, as his representatives say, a one-time standalone, if that's the case, or if there is other stuff. And obviously, he's a good enough player, in my mind, a first-rounder, that if we were in position to draft him, I'd be on the phone with Coach Harbaugh and everybody else at Michigan that I could talk to find out whether this is a problem or an anomaly.
I was saying to Bill just before we came on, yeah, I can't remember a draft class where more first-round picks, top 20 picks especially, have a red flag, whether it's character and or durability. Now, with Peppers, we've got to sort through all this, and maybe it's just... maybe it is what he's claiming it to be, but it still is a red flag at this point. And I just can't remember a draft with so many guys that have these red flags, and there are so few players that you would dub as clean.
Now, the fact of the matter is, these teams all have done extensive work into his background. But that is an issue that has come up with him that has concerned some teams, whereas Christian McCaffrey announced he wasn't playing in the bowl game right away. That decision came immediately, and there was no question. In this particular case, it was an hour before the bowl game against Florida State when it came out that Jabril Peppers wasn't going to play.
And that is how we start this Tuesday afternoon edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. So honored you've allowed us to be a part of your weekday afternoon. It is a beautiful, beautiful afternoon in mid-Michigan. much like yesterday was, sun is out, birds are chirping, grass is green. Oh, it's great. 70 degrees outside. It is Michigan, though. It is Michigan. So enjoy it. Enjoy it. Soak it up while it lasts. Because we just don't know what's going to happen. I love that tune, by the way, Isaac. You probably just let that roll, dude. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. I want to start off by addressing Jabril Peppers because he made a lot of headlines yesterday when news came out that Jabril Peppers technically failed his drug test at the NFL Combine, which, of course, took place not too long ago out in Indianapolis, Indiana, at Lucas Oil Stadium. So what exactly happened? Well, every combine prospect has to take a drug test, right? And the urine sample of Peppers returned with a water content high enough to qualify as, quote unquote, dilute, as specified in the NFL policy and program of substance of abuse. Now, the policy defines a dilute sample as one that has a specific gravity less than 1.003 and a concentration of less than 20 milligrams per liter. I'm getting too technical here. I sound very scientific right now. I sound very, very smart, smarter than I really am, Isaac. But basically what that means is there was too much water in the urine sample, so much so that we can't really tell whether or not this specific player has been using drugs or not. It happens all the time. I mean, we've seen this story happen with other athletes in the past who have to have a drug test to make sure they are A-OK in their respective sport. And we've seen diluted samples when it comes to players in the past. But this can be detrimental for a man like Jabril Peppers, who already has a lot of chatter surrounded around him, seeing as though he's undersized, right? That's the big criticism you hear with Jabril Peppers, despite the fact as a college football player, he was the most versatile player in the sport last season. He played multiple positions. He's very athletic. He's got an uncanny knack for the game, but he's undersized. So, again, college football, NFL, a different level. So when you add this into the equation, and you heard a few ESPN analysts weighing in during that intro, which included Adam Schefter of ESPN, and they just came out and said that, yeah, this is going to raise a red flag. However, in my view, there are going to be teams in the first round that are going to dismiss it because, again, the kid is talented and he has shown potential. There's going to be a team in that first round that is going to draft this young man. But there's a few ways that you can look at this, right? Now, again, when you just look at the situation here, you know, again, to beat a drug test, you see a lot of guys do this. They drink excess amounts of water in order to dilute the sample, right? Now, the NFL is so serious about it that they consider a certain amount of dilution as equivalent to a positive drug test. So that's why the wordage in our headliners, when I brought to you the story, he failed it. He failed the drug test. That's not to say that they found drugs in his urine sample, but they found too much water in it. Simple as that. Now, sources told Schefter that this is how Peppers is defending this. Sources told Adam Schefter that Peppers felt ill on his way to Indy. So what did he do? To rehydrate and try to feel better, he drank 8 to 10 bottles of water to prepare for his running drills. That is a lot of water, I must say. That's a little too much. I don't think I've ever drank 8 to 10 bottles of water in one day ever, Isaac. Have you? I've never done that.
No, absolutely not.
Even when
I'm
actually sick,
yeah, before track meets, I used to avoid drinking water to cut down on my weight, make sure that I could run faster because of that. I'm not sure if that was smart, but that's what I used to do.
Right, just looking at it from all angles, I hear you. Yeah, I mean, you would think that would kind of weigh you down, right? But if you're feeling ill, I get it, but that's a lot
of water.
A lot of water. And it's the same thing that allegedly happened to, as I mentioned, Reuben Foster, Alabama linebacker who felt ill due to food poisoning, is what he's claiming. And he needed to rehydrate because he was throwing up, he was cramping, and he had diarrhea. So he also downed a lot of water, and that led to a similar drug test, much to the likes of Jabril Peppers, right? So does this put Peppers and Foster into the NFL's drug program, assuming that both of these highly touted players will get drafted? The answer is yes. According to the policy in the NFL, both Peppers and Foster will be placed into stage one of the NFL's drug program. Now, there is no discipline involved, and each will be discharged within 180 days if they cooperate with a treatment policy and have no further, this is the key right here, and have no further violations during that said period. However, if they do, they would advance to stage two. Violations while a part of stage two lead either to a fine equivalent to 4 weeks' pay or a four-game suspension, depending on the circumstance, because every circumstance is different, right? So this automatically puts Jabril Peppers in stage one of the NFL's drug policy program. Again, they didn't find drugs in his urine sample, but it looks like two things here. Because if I'm an NFL exec, you know, and I'm looking at this and trying to figure out who to draft, and let's say I may need a linebacker, right? And I'm looking at Peppers, he performed pretty good. You know, not eye-popping, but he performed pretty good in the NFL Combine. He had a stout year with the Michigan Wolverines last season. Again, he earned an award as the most versatile player in all of college football. He's got some talent there. So if I'm considering Peppers and I'm evaluating what took place, what was revealed to us yesterday, this is going to raise a red flag, because you look at it from two. I look at it from two angles, Isaac. It either, one, makes you look like you are using drugs, right? And this is the obvious. It makes you look like you're using drugs and tried to cover it up. Or two, this is the big thing for me. It makes you look like you are careless, incompetent, and irresponsible to know that you do have a drug test coming up, and maybe you shouldn't be downing H2O like it's the latest thing, right? You know you got a drug test coming up. So why are you downing 8 to 10 bottles of water? I get that you're sick, but at some point, maybe on bottle 3 or 4, you're sitting there saying to yourself, oh man, I forgot. Yeah, I got a drug test coming up. Maybe I should chill on the H2O, right? Maybe I should, you know, pump the brakes a little bit here. So either way, Jabril looks very irresponsible with this news coming out.
And that's funny, because I didn't really consider the second part of that. I think in some ways, and I hate to say it, but you mentioned the stage two of the drug plan for the NFL. It's 4 games pay or 4 game suspension. Let's be real. That's pretty minor, all things considered. If you're suspended for 4 regular season games, you're already on a winning team with maybe an easy stretch of the schedule. That's no big deal. The bigger deal, honestly, is if you are this careless and you're just saying something like, I don't really care about that too much. You know what I'm saying? It's just something where the biggest problem you want or don't want to have with an NFL prospect is a mentality problem, something that's going to carry over to the locker room, infest, and take over for other players as well. And I don't think Jabril Peppers has that problem. I don't. But at the same time, that would almost be more toxic to his draft stock than other cases. Now, in the NFL, we've seen several big-name prospects recently come out with not performance-enhancing drugs, but actual just recreational drugs right before the draft. Mm-hmm. Of course, Laremy Tunsil last year being the biggest one, who was smoking marijuana, and a video was released right before the draft of him with a gas mask on. That obviously hurt his draft stock significantly. At the same time,
dude was just getting high. I mean, he's sitting there with a bong, you know, in a gas mask on. I mean, come on.
Just doing something stupid.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it hurts your draft stock. At the same time, these are college kids. Even if it's performance enhancing, as long as they don't get caught before or during the actual season starts, when it's just in this really infantile stage of their NFL careers, I hate to say it, you're kind of cool with giving them a little bit of wiggle room. I would never avoid drafting a player solely because of a concern that maybe once or twice
they had done some sort of drugs.
Well,
at least
I tell you
me.
What, it depends on the situation. It depends. If you're a repeat offender and this is like your third strike.
Well,
if
that's what I'm saying. Repeat offender, that's different.
If it's a
one-time
thing. Yeah, if it's a one-time thing, I mean, you know, maybe give a kid a second chance. You know what I mean? What amazes me, though, that, you know, when you look at this NFL draft, though, and that this was highlighted also in our intro, is that there are a lot of players with a few red flags. I must say, you know, highly touted first-round prospects that you may want to think about drafting really, really high. I mean, I mentioned Reuben Foster, right? You know, and his drug test situation. I mean, Reuben Foster, linebacker at Alabama, he had a magnificent, magnificent time with the Crimson Tide. John Ross, wide receiver of Washington. You know, he ran, you know, a 4.22, which is really, really fast, a 40-yard dash at the combine. Very impressive, I must say. But most recently, Ross underwent surgery on his shoulder. And now a lot of people are saying that that may hinder his draft stock. Look at Corey Davis, wide receiver of Western Michigan, who won wide receiver of the year in college football last season. Davis, you know, I'm looking at a few things, you know, when it comes to his overall stock, you know, read by, you know, different NFL draft experts out there that have written up a brief summary of where Corey Davis could go. Well, they're bringing up the ankle surgery, how that will impact Davis, how tough is that ankle right now to move forward. Other names, Malik McDowell. I don't need to really document Malik McDowell's concerns, right? There were unanimous sources out there that would say that, yeah, he wasn't the greatest teammate while at Michigan State. Kind of selfish. You know, you're hearing that. He didn't knock out his interview portion. That is going to hinder Malik McDowell. Dalvin Cook, you know, off the field concerns thanks to multiple run-ins with the law. Dalvin Cook, running back from Florida State. DeShone Kizer, who actually went on a record, quarterback for Notre Dame, went on a record to say that, yeah, I think that I have the potential to be the greatest quarterback to ever play the game. And then he kind of went, I don't know if you heard those comments, Isaac, but then he kind of went, he went back and said, oh, well, you guys took it out of context. But then he trumped that and said, well, no, yeah, I if you want to be the best, you got to think like the best, right? And I take a lot of stuff from Tom Brady. And Brian Kelly came out and said, you know what, I really thought that DeShone could have stayed another year. I really wish he would have stayed another year because he needs to mature a little bit. His game needs to mature a little bit. So his mouthpiece may have gotten him in a bit of trouble when it comes to his draft stock. I mentioned Jabril Peppers. I mean, there are a lot of players out there that when evaluate, and then, hey, Joe Mixon, right? That whole situation.
Yep.
Highly touted
big
running
deal.
Back. Lions, you know, Bob Quinn has said, and oh, maybe we may think about taking him. You know, I'm mad. He wasn't even in Indy for the combine, but we all know, you know, Mixon's domestic situation that took place away from the field. So there are a lot of players who are, granted, talented at the college football level, but a lot of NFL GMs are going to be sitting back and saying, are they going to be headaches once we sign them? That's the big question. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Want to note this before briefly talking about the announcement that was made this morning at 10 a.m. at Little Caesars Arena concerning four of our in-state college basketball teams. But Austin Robertson, we dedicated segment A to yesterday's Current Sports addressing the Austin Robertson arrest. New details have come out about that since the 24 hours that we all bid you adieu yesterday, after yesterday's Current Sports. Austin Robertson was taken into custody, and I want to correct myself because I said that he came back to Michigan. He has not come back to Michigan. He was taken into custody in Indiana on Saturday, actually, by U.S. Marshals at 5:30 p.m. He is in police custody. He is being held on $75,000 bond. It's a lot of moolah. He is in Allen County Jail in Indiana. He eventually will make his way to Michigan, maybe today. Looking for an update on that. But again, Austin Robertson, new details have come out concerning when and where of, you know, concerning his arrest. And again, he was taken into custody on Saturday, 5:30 p.m. in Allen County Jail in Indiana, $75,000 bond. All right, briefly here, I want to bring this news to you again. Tom Izzo, John Beilein, Greg Campy, and Bakari Alexander, also alongside Olympia Entertainment President and CEO Tom Wilson, were all at Little Caesars Arena this morning at 10 a.m. to talk about a big announcement. Great slate to open up the first college hoop games at LCA. The first game will feature U of M versus Detroit Mercy on December 16th. And that's actually, that's going to be a parking nightmare, I think, Isaac, because that's the same day that the Detroit Lions will host the Chicago Bears, hopping and skip away at Ford Field. But it's really cool because you look at that first game and you have Bakari Alexander, who used to be an assistant coach under John Beilein, now playing against John Beilein. That's the first game. And also another tie there, Wolverine Cameron Chapman also plays for Detroit Mercy. That's going to be cool to see that dynamic. And in game two, you'll see the good friends between Greg Campy and Tom Izzo go at it, Michigan State versus OU. Great way to open up basketball at LCA. LCA will also host the Horizon League tourney next March in the first and second rounds of the NCAA tourney in 2018 and 2021. The Frozen Four will also take place there in 2020. And D1 Wrestling Championships in 2022. For those wondering about how you can get tickets to that December 16th fantastic doubleheader, well, ticket information and game times will be announced at a later date. All right, so I just wanted to bring that news to you. I'll elaborate more on what this could mean for basketball at LCA and what this means for the city of Detroit just to have an arena, a state-of-the-art arena like LCA right in the heart of downtown Detroit. We've talked about it, but not in the context of college hoops. We'll get to that later on in the hour. But let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will invite to the show a high-flying dunking machine. His name is Porter. What's reality? Mayberry. You don't want to miss this chat and so much more. Come on back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports.
I was just working a regular job in a furniture company. I was in the gym, and I posted this video of me dunking. And it went like crazy viral, and I got a call to come and perform in this dunk competition. And it was just like, either quit your job or it's your dream, and I chased it.
You got volume, right? I'm about to go win this.
Everybody's taller than me, but that doesn't limit me, you know? Like, me, I can go out there and do the same thing these guys doing. Don't judge a book by its cover, because I'm about to shock the world.
And shock the world, he certainly did. In season one of TNT's The Dunk King, he was actually crowned champion of the four episode Dunk King. And it's funny because it would air, Isaac, after the Western Conference finals every game. And it was so cool to watch it. His name is Porter Mayberry. His nickname is one of the coolest nicknames I've heard in a while. What's reality? That's a pretty cool nickname, I must say. He's a Grand Rapids native. He balled out at Grand Rapids Ottawa Hills High School, and he became a viral internet sensation due to his high-flying dunking ability at just 5'5" back in 2012. Porter Mayberry, welcome to Current Sports. Porter, how you doing, my man?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you on the show. And when I found out that the Dunk King would be renewed for another season, and I knew that you had won season one, I'm like, dude, I got to get Porter on the show to talk about this for sure. And we'll get into season two in just a moment. But I first want to start by asking you, I want to talk about your nickname, What's Reality? Because, it's one of the coolest nicknames I've heard in quite some time. How did you get that nickname? And I think it's fitting, by the way.
it's What's Gravity, man. What's Gravity?
Oh, What's Gravity? Oh, I thought it's What's Reality. Look at that, man.
Yeah, what's gravity like? Like asking a question, like question mark, what's gravity?
Like what's gravity? Okay.
I don't know what it is, man.
Well, I screwed that up, didn't I? I screwed that up big time, didn't I, Porter?
What's reality? I mean, that's cool too. I might have to stick with that one too.
You may have to make a change. If you do, I'll send you an address to WKAR. Send me a check in the mail. How's that sound? All right. All right, Porter. I want to start when you first started, you know, jumping off the hardwood and slamming the rock down. When was your first dunk, and how tall were you at the time?
Man, I got my first dunk down probably right after high school, local park in my city, tip dunk. The ball came off the rim. I just jumped up, and I was high enough to slam it in. And, like, when I ran back down the court, smiling as wide as possible. it was crazy, crazy feeling, man, get your first dunk down.
That's so this came after high school. So you weren't even slamming it down when you were balling out at Ottawa Hills then?
Nah, I couldn't even get it down. I was a sophomore in high school. I could jump up and grab the rim, and everybody was like, yo, just put it down, put it down. I would try and try and try. I would get hung, fall on my back. it was all bad, but, you know, finally got one down, and the rest is history.
Now, it's measured, I see online, as a 52-inch vertical. I have to ask, Porter, is this something that when you first put down that first tip dunk after high school, was this something that you intently worked on or something that just came to you after you got that first dunk down?
I mean, my jumping abilities, you know, I've always been natural. I won't ever say, like, you know, I just worked and worked and worked. But, you know, I put my first dunk down, and then, like, it was just a regular one-hand dunk. So since then, I've, you know, studied, like, jumping techniques, you know, and that's what it really is. Like, when you see some of the dunks I do or these high flyers, it's all kind of technique. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just different training aspects of it, you know, just it definitely helps. And, you know, I wasn't jumping as high as I am now. I feel like I'm jumping higher, as weird as it sounds. It gets older and jumping higher. So,
yeah,
we're going to have to figure something out here. We have to take my DNA out somehow. But, yeah, definitely, man, it's all a blessing to be able to do what I do.
So you talk about those training techniques. Porter, I was never blessed with bunnies like yours. And I remember I would always dream about dunking when I was in high school. And my stepdad actually would put me through a drill where I would actually stand on the side of the stairs. Like, I would find one stair, stand on the side of it, and just go up and down to work out my calves. What type of training techniques do you use in order to try and elevate yourself even higher than that 52-inch vert?
I mean, most people think it has to do with your legs. I mean, it does, but most of jumping comes from your core and your back. You know, you just got to think about it. When you're running and you're bending down, squatting, you're tightening all your core muscles. Mm-hmm. So the stronger your core is, the more explosion you're going to have. And, you know, you got to have a strong back. Like, you can't do anything without your back. So definitely your strong back and core muscles, different workouts like that, they help tremendously, man. I won't stress it enough. People just go to the gym and think, oh, I'm going to squat a million times, I'm going to jump higher. It doesn't work like that.
Now, what was your basketball career like for you, Porter, growing up in GR? I know you played it, again, as I mentioned, Grand Rapids, Ottawa Hills. How good of a player were you at Ottawa Hills?
Oh, man, I made all-city, all-area honors every year, man.
Wow.
So I could ball. I could definitely ball. I had a chance to go off to Kansas. It was one of the top JUCOs at the time in Kansas. And, you know, first flight, you know, I went out there and I came back. I was like, I'm going back home. Homesick. First flight ever.
Right.
So, you know, I came back home, and, you know, I started going to the local community college in my city, GRCC. I was going to play basketball. I kind of fell through, so yeah, I just started working. I stopped playing basketball for like 6-7 months, and, you know, just strictly working and going to school. And one day I just went back to the gym, you know, local park, like I told you, and the dunking abilities kicked in.
It's just all of a sudden, like, you're just jumping out the gym.
Man, I think the working aspect helped my man legs kick in really quick.
Right, exactly. Now, for you, Porter, I mean, you're a ball player. And, heck, even dating back to my minuscule basketball career when I was in high school, I mean, the dream is always to go to the pros, right? Now, I know you had that dream, which is why you tried to play collegiately. How tough was that? When you mentioned that 6-7 month span where you weren't playing and decided to hang it up and stop chasing the dream, how tough was that for you?
I mean, that's definitely, I look back and, you know, that could have been the, you know, breaking point of my life. You know what I'm saying? Like, this basketball and stuff has, you know, transitioned into a career for me. So, like, if I didn't make the decision to pick the ball up, I'm not, you know, sure where I would be. Actually, I signed up to go to the Navy. And, like, right before in 2012, you know, the basketball stuff took off, and that's what I was going to do. I really didn't want to stay working in a factory. I had dropped out of school because I didn't know what I was going to do with my life. So, like, basketball is everything for me. Like, you know, this is, like you said, the dream is to make it to the pros. And if you're a kid, you know, stuck, you know, that's all you think you're going to do. When that reality doesn't happen, it's like, which way do you turn?
Porter, you don't hear a lot of ball players that sit at your height at 5'5". You, of course, have to have a chip on your shoulder when you walk out on the court and see guys that are usually taller than you. Where does that confidence come from, my man?
I mean, it comes from within. You know, my motto is heart over height. I use this. I have a clothing line coming out with that motto. And, you know, you just got to believe in yourself, you know, all times. And, you know, just when I go out there, like, I look at everybody as they got to hold me, too. They have to guide me, too. So, me, you know, me being smaller, I'm faster than most people. So, I just use that as my advantage. Then when they see me jump, it's like they get afraid.
They're like, uh-oh.
They're like, oh, he's quick and he can jump. Oh, yeah, watch out.
Love that. Again, folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with 2016, well, I should say season one winner of TNT's The Dunk King, which, again, season two will be premiering very, very soon. Porter Mayberry, Grand Rapids own, sits at 5'5" and can jump out the gym. 2012, Porter, is when you really began to gain a lot of notoriety. And yeah. when your dunks really blew up online, actually, there's a snippet. I don't know if you guys have seen this commercial, but you remember the commercial, Isaac, where LeBron James, he's getting his hair cut at the barbershop, and he's looking, you know, at videos on I guess on YouTube. And Porter is actually the video that he's looking at on
Absolutely.
His phone. And everybody's like, oh my gosh, that's Porter Mayberry there. Porter, what happened in 2012? Why did that video blow up so big?
Man, it was crazy. I put my first video out, I think it was around September, October 2012. And, you know, you see most videos online, they say what the person's height is. They be like, oh, he's 5'6", and in reality, he might be 5'9", 5'10". Mm-hmm. So my first video came out, and it went crazy. Like, I won a local dunk contest, the Dust Smackers, the 3-on-3 tournaments. I won one in South Haven, and somebody put the clip up. So Team Flight Brothers reached out to me. It's a big dunk group on YouTube. You know, their channel is pretty huge if you check them out. They made me a mix together and put it up, and it had 1 million views within like 3 days.
Oh, my goodness.
So it went like crazy viral. It was on the front page of Yahoo, and I started getting invited to different contests around the, you know, United States. And I didn't even know they had these type of contests. I didn't know about dunkers. I didn't know about any of this.
Right.
So they invited me to a dunk contest in California. Ball is Life. You might have heard of them before.
Of course,
It was a pretty good dunk contest. So I started looking up some of the competitors, and I'm like, yo, these guys are going crazy. They're going between the legs, 360s. And I'm just doing one hand regular dunks. So I'm like, oh, man. So I go out there, and, you know, actually, I get second place out of, like, some of the top guys in the world. So I was threw into it, like, right away. And I think that kind of helped me, you know, confidence-wise, because, like, I was threw into it with the best.
Porter. And, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. And Samsung reached out right after that because they hit up Ball of Life. They was like, yo, is this guy really 5'5"? And they told him, like, yeah, we measured him. And they was like, yeah, we're going to put him in his commercial. And it was crazy from there.
Did you get a chance to meet LeBron when it was filmed?
I didn't actually get to meet him then. They actually reached out to me, and I did a Cavs event. I've been doing the Cavs event for the last couple years. Mm-hmm. And actually, I did the one last year when they went to the finals, so I got to meet him then.
What was that like for you, getting to meet what is widely considered to be the best basketball player on planet Earth right now?
I mean, it's crazy. When I met him, he's like, yeah, man, I've seen all your dunks. Crazy. He's like, you really are short. So, like, just to, you know, for him to be able to, like, hey, I've seen your stuff. I'm like, yeah, it's crazy. This is LeBron.
LeBron James, I tell you. And how and when did TNT's The Dunk King reach out to you?
They reached out to, if you look, it's like, maybe if you look at different commercials or YouTube, it's only a specific number of dunkers you might see all the time. So when they did the scouting process, I think they just went through YouTube, Twitter, and, you know, Instagram, and they reached out to me, like, hey, we see you've been traveling a lot, you know, this is a show and it's for $100,000. And I'm thinking, like, there's no way there's going to be a dunk contest for $100,000. Like, I just didn't believe it. And, you know, they hit me up a couple months later, like, yo, this is the day we're flying you out. This is happening. I'm like, okay, well, let's do it. So I get there. You know, I know most of the guys there, and I'm like, this is going to be tough. But, I stuck to my game plan, and, you know, I took home the crown.
And I had to ask, Porter, I mean, you know, you're looking at a competition like that on national TV, that kind of stage. You got guys like Shaquille O'Neal, Charles Barkley, Kenny the Jet Smith. I think I saw Brent Berry as a judge one day as well. They bring in all these celebrity judges as well. Were you intimidated at all dunking on that kind of a stage? How do you control the nerves before a competition like that?
I just feel like I've been in so many different competitions, being in front of crowds, and like now I feed off of it. You know, the energy in that building that day was crazy. Like, you know, me being one of the shortest competitors, and I go out there, you know, I start hyping the crowd up. It just gave me a boost of adrenaline. And, like, once I got my first dunk down, I was like, I feel like I could do anything. And, you know, seeing I jumped over Shaq, it looked like I could.
Yeah, for sure. And speaking of that, a great segue into my next question. Again, that dunk over Shaquille O'Neal, the 7-footer, a legend in the game. That's the dunk that really landed you that $100,000 prize and title of the Dunk King. Porter, bear with us here. Let's take a look at a snippet from that dunk.
Shaq time, and he's on. Here we go. Porter Mayberry. See this guy going over Shaq with no problemo.
Porter, what goes through your mind when you hear that snippet? What are you thinking about right now?
Man, I feel like it's still surreal. Like that night that I did not sleep. I can't even remember that night. I sat up in the hotel, like all the other guys went out, and I just sat up, and the night was just like, it went past so fast. Like, I was like, did this really just happen? And, you know, and like in that moment, it was just like, if I make this dunk, like, I'm going to win. There's no way, like, nobody's going to beat me, you know. Like, I have two little girls. I have a 6-year-old daughter, and at the time, my girlfriend was pregnant with my other daughter. So, and that was just the motivation. I just kept thinking about, like, hey, I need this for them. So, and also, you know, in my head, it's $100,000 if I make this dunk. So.
A lot of moolah, right?
Yeah.
Porter, can you take us through the dunk? Had you ever attempted a dunk like that over someone as tall as Shaq?
I've done it over a person that was like 6'8". But Shaq is like huge, like
right.
He's not normal 7 foot.
Just I believe like 7'3".
Yeah, 7'3".
Yeah, he's just not like he's the biggest guy you'll ever meet, man. But he's like a super kid, like it's crazy.
But he is.
Like, I was thinking from the first dunk I did on the show, Brent Berry was like, you did that dunk too easy. And I jumped over a guy that was 6'6", and I like cleared him super easy. So Brent Berry kind of started it. He was like, well, maybe you do it over the big fella. So every dunk continuously on the show, I asked Shaq, and he just kept saying, no, no, no. So once I got towards the finals, he was like, I'm going to let you do it. If you make this dunk, I'm going to let you do it. So we got to the final dunk. Everybody knew what was about to happen. And, you know, I walked up to him. I was like, yo, this guy is bigger than I thought he is. So that's why if you see me running back and forth, thinking about it in my head, like, okay, we got to get this down. It's either going to go viral either way. Either I'm going to make it or he's risk that stuff.
For sure. So, well, thank goodness you slammed it down, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Was that all one take? Just one take? Let me just try it and see what happens. Was that all in one take, that dunk right
one
there,
take.
Porter?
One take, man. One take.
Remarkable. Yeah. And you know, I want to ask this question as well, because this is what you do. Dunking is what you do, Porter. Out of all of the dunks you've had in game and in competition, which dunk sticks out in your brain the most?
That one.
That dunk that, right there.
Like it just happened so fast. I mean, like it was crazy, man. Like I've never jumped that high, like, ever. Like, I just don't know. I don't know how I pulled that one out. I really don't. Like, I've watched it over and over, and I've watched myself do other dunks. I'll critique myself and look at different stuff, look at different techniques, and that one, I just don't even know how I pulled it out.
Well, I tell you what, watching the Dunk King, Porter, and Isaac, I think you can attest to this. It is tremendously more entertaining than watching the NBA All-Star Weekend dunk contest. I mean, this is what you guys do, right? So I have to ask, Porter, I mean, there's only so much that you can do creativity-wise, right? I mean, do you have anything that is out the box and totally different, unlike anything we've ever seen in store for Season 2?
I definitely do.
You do? That we've never seen before?
First dunk.
Wow. Okay.
I'm excited.
I'm excited as well, Isaac. I'm going to be tuning in, and if it's too late and I got to work the next morning, I will be sure to DVR it. And, you know, you look at this whole phenomenon, and you're unbelievable at what you do, Porter, but I want to also throw this one at you. When you first started dunking and getting attention from it, did you have a problem at all? Did it cross your mind at all with the attention of just one aspect of your game and not being recognized as a total ball player in general? Were you happy with just being known for dunking, the dunking aspect of as you as a player?
I mean, it did and it didn't. But because, like, at the end of the day, I know I can play. And most dunkers, if you, like, look and talk to some people, they can't play basketball. They can really jump high, but they can't play basketball. And, you know, before I started dunking, that's all I used to do. So, you know, and it comes out sometimes, you know, I'll post dunk videos and then, like, maybe somebody on Facebook, like, hey, we're going to the park, we're going to the gym to play basketball. I'll be like, oh, I'm coming. And they'd be like, ah, you don't want this, or you can't play still. Like, I'll be like, what is wrong with you guys? Like, when I get there, they'd be like, oh, he can still play. He's really good still. Like, yeah,
right.
It's crazy that now there's, like, people like, oh, he's just a dunker. When I get on the court, they'd be like, oh, man, this dude plays basketball, too. So, I mean, it's definitely, I really kind of am upset with the dunking part of it because it kind of canceled out a college career for me. But I'm still thinking about D-League opportunities, man. Definitely.
So that dream is not dead right now?
It's not dead. No, sir.
Love it. Before we get you out of here, Porter, who are your dunking idols? Curious.
Nate for sure. Nate Robinson. I watched Bo Webb growing up, and, you know, Nate has to be number one. I like Vince. Vince is probably the best dunker ever, Vince Carter.
Oh, for sure.
And I agree. In-game contest dunks is just crazy. So, but there's also a YouTube dunker, if you've never heard of him. His name is T-Dub.
T-Dub.
So if you haven't watched his videos, check him out. You're gonna be like, crazy. He's 5'9", and, like, he's probably one of the highest jumpers ever.
Before we pub Season 2 and get you out of here, Porter, I know our engineer Isaac Constance, he checked out Season 1 of the Dunk King as well. And we watched it and we're fascinated in Season 1. What, you got anything for Porter, Isaac?
Yeah, absolutely. Porter, I mean, I'm thinking to a song called Wings, where it starts off with, I was 7 years old when I got my first pair and I stepped outside. I said, Mama, this air bubble right here is going to make me fly. You know that any kid who steps foot on a basketball court wants to dunk it. For you, You just described who inspired you to go out there, dunk like you do, play like you do. How many kids have come up to you since and said, you're the one who inspires me?
Man, it's a humbling feeling, man. Like, I get these messages like 30, 40 times a day, just from random kids. And, you know, I try to respond to all of them, and then they just be like, oh, man, you really responded. Like, you know, because, like, I feel like I owe it to them. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is a gift, and, you know, it first started off as just dunking for me, but, like, now I'm starting to see, like, the bigger picture of it, you know, because I am doing, like, something that is considered impossible. Like, I'm not supposed to be dunking and doing the things I'm doing at my height. So if I could definitely give back and give hope, you know, that'd mean the world to me.
And I can certainly attest to that, Isaac, because the way this came about, I mean, I couldn't find an email or anything like that. So what did I do? I actually shot a DM to Porter on Instagram. He got back with me within the hour, and he set everything up, talked to his manager and agent, and bam, we got him on the air. So, Porter, I can definitely tell you are one humble dude, and I'm looking forward to seeing you in Season 2. Just pump it a little bit. Again, competition, Season 2 of The Dunk King. When does it air? How can people watch? And have you all started filming?
The show is pre-recorded, so Like, we have to be quiet for, like, 9-10 months out of the year about it.
Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah, that's I had to wait that long for, you know, because I did that Shaq dunk the year before in 2015, so I had to wait all the way to 2016.
That's a long time,
so
right.
I couldn't say anything, but we definitely did season two last September. It's going to be crazy. The dunks, it's insane. We got some international guys on the show this year. I can't wait for you guys to see this, man. They definitely was trying to cover my crown.
Okay. Whoa, does that mean you still got the crown?
I can't tell you that, man.
I had to ask, Porter. Oh, man. Okay, Porter, what's gravity? Mayberry, Porter, thank you so much for your time. We look forward to having you on in the future, my man. How's that sound?
Definitely. I'm always willing now.
All right. Again, season two of The Dunk King coming very, very soon. Porter, thank you so much.
All right. Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, we only have a few minutes left. Isaac, we got time for a quick second break, right? Let's throw to our final break. We'll come in and put a quick bow on this Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We have exactly 90 seconds left in the show. Quick bow on this Tuesday edition here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. The Detroit Tigers will take on the Seattle Mariners tonight at 7:10 p.m. Hernandez versus Zimmerman. Zimmerman with a 5.94 ERA. Hernandez with an ERA a little over 3-6. So should be an interesting matchup. The Tigers coming off taking 2 out of 3 against the Minnesota Twins over the weekend. A brief NBA note here, Isaac, to close out the show. The Golden State Warriors made it look easy peasy yesterday. A 128-103 dub over the Portland Trailblazers, sweeping the Trailblazers. Question. Do the Warriors really need Kevin Durant?
Yes. Just for the standpoint of depth, they need Kevin Durant because they sacrificed so much bench and bench depth to get KD. They need him not in the first round, but going forward, they will need him.
I think I'm going to make this point tomorrow. Kevin Durant is overrated for this team. Mm. This team could win an NBA championship without Kevin Durant. We'll dive into that on tomorrow's show. All right, folks, we are out of time. Much thanks to Porter Mayberry for joining us here on today's Current Sports. We'll be back at it same time, same place here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. Take care and be easy, people.